Da Bears.
What is up? Ooh. The boys are back.
Here it is.
Much better.
I like that better.
Guys, today is Thursday, April 13th, episode 72 of Da Bear Minimum Podcast. Joined with the bestest friends in the whole daggone world. Producer Jake is here.
Howdy.
Dada Dale's here.
Bush.
I am Marcos.
Not a bush.
Gargoyles.
Seltzer water. Costco.
Sammy Stats not here this week. Three-man weave this
Pour
week.
Pour one out for you, homie.
Again, I'm Marcos. We are Da Bear Minimum Podcast. On Facebook, Da Bear Minimum Podcast. Twitter, at Da Bear Min Pod. Instagram, Da Bear Min Podcast. Venmo, always open. Shout out Lee. Actually,
okay,
a little bit of sponsor here. Lee, it's not confirmed yet, but we got a commitment to it.
Uh-huh.
The money that he made off of Omar after UFC 287 going right to the bare minimum. So shout out to our boy Lee. And again, if you're looking to leave the boys a tip, sponsor an episode,
I like it,
anything you want, guys, the bare minimum on Venmo, always open. We accept free money.
You kind of pulled back the curtain there at the start of this show. People always thought this was a one take podcast.
No way. Not me. Couldn't be.
Well, I've never edited before.
So we did that, guys. The website, dubbareminimum.com.
We got it.
We got it. We're working on it.
It exists.
Guys.
Kind of.
How the hell are we doing? How was Easter?
Easter was good.
diarrhea since Easter's.
Question, is that an Easter movie?
No.
Just,
why not?
Yeah.
just Nacho Libre's all time.
Just mentioned Easter.
It is good.
We don't really know how long Easter. It's been since Easter.
That's right.
That he just had diarrhea since Easter.
It's like October. He's had IBS.
Moving on from the poo-poo talk. We spent most of the weekend at the farm because Kate had family in town. So the chief marketing officer is a very happy man. He gets to run around a ton. Also, while we're talking about him, a quick nod to the bestest boy who turns six this weekend.
Yo!
Yes, the chief marketing officer, Billiam, Willie T, good boy, does turn six on Sunday.
Do we get PTO days? Is this like a comp day for all of us?
It's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's a Sabbath.
Oh, check this.
Just kidding. Yes, you do.
Nice. Guys, Easter was a lot of fun, too. It was first Easter with Enzo, so it was like...
Of course.
It was really easy to make plans because everybody wants to be there.
So what's that like now? You have the object of desire, the thing that no one cares about you. No one cares about Honey anymore. Nope. They just want to see little homie.
Yep.
So everyone came over, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, and it was like the easiest thing. Like, normally, family functions, like, you know, pre-kid or like, you know, the mother-in-law and the mom, like, you know, we got traditions growing up. You got families, and this is what you do. And so I was like, we're kind of wondering, is it going to be difficult? Because now we're going to do, like, joint Easter. And that's really the plan, is just do joint holidays. Like, you guys want to see kiddo. We're doing stuff together. All of us, the whole game.
Right.
And so it was, like, really easy. No, like, no type of, like, oh, well, could we do both? Nope. It's like, hey, this is what we're doing. Fun times. It was a blast. It was good. We get them all dressed up and... It was fun times, man.
That's awesome. Good for
stuff.
You.
Yeah. So a lot of
plus you don't have to like plan any like activity or anything. There's the topic of discussion is here.
Is he
plan an activity? Look at my kid.
Look at my kid. You want to take photos?
The sick kid, isn't it? He's sick.
You want to see your grandkid? Here he is. I'm gonna be watching the Masters.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
guys
yeah.
have fun. Did you guys get to watch much Masters on Easter Sunday?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I got in trouble for being on my phone.
Oh. I had that bad boy on the TV. I had it muted. Yeah, you're
it's
on
at the
farm.
There's That's no internet.
That's true. Yeah, had that bad boy on the TV. No audio or anything. We had, like, the Bluetooth speaker playing music or whatever.
Right.
My ass was just planted watching golf all day. It was a blast. I was pretty bummed that I couldn't spend all day Saturday watching golf. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm working on Saturdays because you guys know
my job. Yeah, but you didn't miss. I mean, golf didn't happen.
But that's the thing. I'm pretty bummed because I got home after work on Saturday.
Oh, gotcha.
Excited to just relax another day and a half of golf or a half day of golf. No golf. So it was easy. It took Lexi a little while to like realize that we were watching the morning round because they were playing it back and I'm just watching it intently like if it's...
Wait, is this not live?
Replay. This is replay.
She said, is this the morning round? I said, oh, okay, fine. You
said,
me.
No, it's crazy.
You got me. Did you guys watch UFC 287 over the weekend?
No.
Guys...
I saw the highlights.
Great
Yeah.
Great card, great fight. Like, shout out to Omar for breaking it down with us last week. A lot of decisions or a lot of results went different ways than what Omar was saying.
That's how it goes sometimes.
Well,
how
so
it goes sometimes.
Including the ones I gambled
you
on.
You sent me like the 8-leg parlay.
I sent you a fiver, okay? Thank you very much.
Well, you sent me the card parlay, the whole main event. Yeah. And I just remember noting like the last two, and I don't think either of them hit.
Oh, the first one was dead. The first one was
dead on arrival.
Dead on arrival. Before
no
we
chance.
Dead before we started. But it was fun. It was a good card. I enjoyed it. Just 1-800-GAMBLER. Gamble responsibly. Your boy did not. I did see, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Nate Diaz is going to be fighting Logan Paul.
I did. Well, in a boxing match.
Boxing match. I would like to see one of those fights like UFC rules. Like, let's just not box. Let's wrestle. Let's tussle.
I hate because it paints a picture that this guy has talent. What this guy has is enough money to hire the best trainers and nothing else going on in his life, so he just trains at boxing. And God bless him, you know, he does do that, and he has earned his place, some think. He has not earned it, some others think. I just fucking
hate
the people.
And it's boxing, so he can set up his own fights as long as someone will commission it. And then it pays a lot more than the UFC, so UFC fighters will come over, and especially the retiring ones will come over and get their payday. And I mean, what is the record of his opponents against him? It's like 5-300 or something.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, when you pick and choose, and you're selling these at that point, you know.
Yeah.
I always like seeing Nate on TV. Like it's, I've always liked him fighting. I think his personality is cool, so I will tune in.
Yep,
100% what I'll do.
He's there for the bag, and I respect that.
Yeah,
I'd sell out in an instant.
A little bit of what you're watching, right? I have. I'm hooked on a couple things right now.
Okay.
Hooked on Succession. You guys watch Succession?
Oh, I'm meaning to get into it.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, that show's back. It's been awesome. What else? Challenge is back. There was something else just recently that we were watching. Dang it.
It's Challenge All-Stars, right?
Challenge All-Stars,
but, like,
yeah.
World Stars?
It's basically, like, they do, like...
Wait, World Star?
So, World Star. Challenge was doing... So, the Challenge was in, like, different countries.
Yeah.
And they did, like, Challenge UK, Challenge Australia, right. Challenge Argentina. And then, so, all the winners of those are now in
playing
a big
All-Stars.
One with some of the vets.
Gotcha.
And the people that just won the Challenge USA won all, like, the rookies and stuff. So, it's cool, man. It's a lot of fun. There was something else that I'm just watching, and I'm super bummed that I don't remember what it is.
I'll go while you think of it.
Oh, well.
I'm rewatching
She-Ra.
Nice.
I should. I'm kind of due.
We're kind of due for,
for another She-Ra run.
So, no, you go first. I won't forget.
So I'm watching Peaky Blinders again because I never finished it, but Amy's never seen it. So I'm rewatching from the beginning.
That's the best.
Yeah.
So I got to do that with Kate around like season 5 of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
So she jumped in late. So it was awesome to get the backstory right before like shit starts popping off.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen all of Blinders?
No. I missed like the last season or two.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I've seen most of it.
Then you've seen all of... Yeah, I'm not going to ruin
it.
I've seen
past like the Russian timeline.
Sure.
And then
sure.
I think I was...
Those are some good ones.
I think I stopped right before they were possibly going to America.
Okay,
like
yes.
Al Capone might be involved or something is what I remember.
I will tell you, my personal take is, it is a very good show and you should watch it.
Yeah.
I can also say that the best episodes are behind you.
Yeah, well.
But it's still like, that's also because the first 3 seasons, I think.
Are just awesome.
Yeah, they're just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Also, like, it's no secret that the last season, the actress who played Aunt Paul passed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So
I'll find out soon.
Well, so that's why I don't feel bad spoiling that.
Yeah.
Like, the actress passed away.
Okay.
So, like, these poor show writers had to pivot halfway through the off season, so to speak.
Gotcha.
To find. So anyway, it's a great show. I'm curious to see what they do. Given seeing all of it, I encourage it. Absolutely. It's a great show.
Yep.
Quickly on She-Ra.
She-Ra.
Baby. So I am a firm.
Nice.
You guys disagree.
You didn't finish it.
Nice.
Right. So that is fair. From what I have seen, I much prefer Avatar. You guys know this. So what I've told Kate is I'm looking forward to when Ajax comes because, like, there's a while there where you got some time, right? Like,
yeah.
He's not doing a whole lot.
Yeah.
So we've got, like, a few things that we're thinking about watching.
So you're going to finish She-Ra.
Oh, we're going to back-to-back Avatar and She-Ra to have an educated opinion.
Can't wait. That's the way to go. That's how I did it.
Right.
Which one are you going to watch first?
Avatar.
So I likely Avatar, because I also would like to watch Legend of Korra directly after finishing.
I think
Avatar.
You should watch She-Ra first so that you're forced to get through it before watching Avatar.
That is a good point. That is a
really good point. Yeah.
Because then I'll be like, this shit ain't good as Avatar. Avatar's a shit.
Yeah, you'll get halfway through it again and be like, meh.
But you know, there were some great characters, though.
Dude, it gets so amazing. Real in the second half of that show.
Dude, okay.
It's amazing. That show is so good. If you haven't watched it, guys, She-Ra, it's fantastic. One of my all-time favorites. I think yours too, right, Jake?
Yep.
Highly recommend. I can't remember what the fuck the other one was that I'm watching right now. I moving on. Guys, and so no sponsors. Yes, sponsor. Shout out Lee. Yes, sponsor this week. So,
not Lee, attaboy.
Shout out Lee. Way to win a bet. 1-800 Gambler.
Man, it's great when you win, isn't it?
Omar lost money and he paid for the pay per view.
Tough.
Guys, let's get into some sports minutes. We'll go around the city of Chicago, touch base with a couple of our favorite Chicago sports teams. We'll get into Chicago Bears. Not much going on with the Bears right now. We got 14 days until the NFL draft. The rumor mill always churning out new rumors. Guys, you guys want to hear the
new
one this
week? We're moving back.
Yeah.
Is this the Steelers?
Yeah, this
I don't like
it,
this.
It doesn't even matter if it's the Steelers.
I don't like
the
Steelers.
The word on the street is we're going back.
We're moving back.
We are not picking at 9.
I love it, though. Like, I'm cool with moving back. I think that is the move.
I have, of course, like everyone else, my updated take. If you get to 9 and the names Paris Johnson Jr., Peter Skoronski, the right tackle, is it Wright, I believe, is the right tackle.
I think it's Darrell or Darnell Wright.
I believe so.
Out of Tennessee.
And then Broderick Jones. If all four of those men are still on the board, why not?
Well, and again, if you're the Bears, you have, and we've said this a zillion times already, you have holes everywhere.
Right.
Like, that's the issue with this team. You were literally the worst team in the league last year. You have holes all over the place. Mm-hmm. If you get to 9, and you've got a couple of these names, like you said, if those four tackles are still available, I mean, if you have one of these cornerbacks, if you have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, if you've got some of these edge rushers, Tyree Wilson, Miles Murphy... Guys, the run on quarterbacks is going to happen. Assume that four or five of those first picks in the top 10 are going to be quarterbacks. Will Anderson's going to be gone. Who knows what happens with Jalen Carter. Dude, you can get to 9 and you could really feel comfortable saying, hey, if we move back, maybe 17 is tricky. Like, that's the rumor right now with the Steelers.
But that's my only issue is that you're not miss out on those four guys.
We're talking about this right now. Like, we're not going to trade this pick before the draft. Again, like, because we did this just a couple weeks ago with the first overall pick. We were talking about this draft pick being traded on draft night. There's a strong chance that this pick gets traded before draft night even happens.
Shouldn't that be like, I feel like that you really should wait for this trade until draft night. Because you're making this trade hoping that you know who's available still. Mm-hmm. Like, you make... But
that could also bite you in the fact that
because they're not going to give you
that they may that deal might back out on draft night. Like, you that's a risk reward situation for sure. Or you could just make the deal.
Now I'd like to throw out another scenario.
Do it.
Now you get to 9 and Jalen Carter is still there, because I think one of the biggest threats to take Jalen Carter right now is the Detroit Lions, who just spent a top first-round draft pick on Aiden Hutchinson, but also just traded, also, I believe, top first-round draft pick Jeff Okuda to, I think it was the Falcons for a fifth round. So maybe that signals that they're looking more towards one of those two top cornerbacks now, because you just invested top talent in the defensive rookie of the year, which I think Aiden was, right? I'm 99.9% sure. Mm-hmm. So... maybe Detroit goes cornerback. Maybe something happens with Atlanta where they take any position besides defensive tackle. Like, if Jalen Carter is there at 9, do you throw away all thoughts of trading and just take Jalen Carter, who, again, a couple weeks ago we thought was the best talent in the draft.
I think it gives you a lot to think about when you get to 9. Ultimately, it's going to come down to the stones that Ryan Poles has. And like we talk about like franchise direction decisions, you know, like franchise altering decisions. Like this is the wagon that you're hitching to.
Right.
This is the equivalent of like the Ryan Pace, like hitching his wagon to Mitch Trubisky. And like Jake said it right when it happened. Dude's going to live and die by this decision. I think you probably could say the same with Ryan Poles making that pick at 9. It's not a quarterback. It's not the premier position in the NFL. So there might be a little bit of leeway. But
yeah, I don't think it's quite. It's not quite the same.
We've said it before. Like you're picking in the top 10. You really need to hit on this pick. And hey, if there's names outside of 9, maybe you're not comfortable with it, move back. Get yourself one of these offensive tackles. Get an offensive threat. Get an edge rusher.
Get an extra second round pick. Right. Something like that.
That's what I like about the Steelers trade.
You get that damn pick back.
You get your pick back. And again, it's because the Dolphins fiasco.
Number 32.
It's pick 32. You get essentially a first round pick. And now it looks like you traded the 101 for 9. Then you got set. Then you move that back.
9, 32, DJ, and next year first and a second.
You didn't trade it for 30 because you're getting your 32.
Because you're getting 32 back, but
well, that
you got Claypool.
Yeah.
So I mean, at that point, it would be nice to have a pick in between. Like right now, as it stands, if the Bears pick 9 and they don't move that pick, you're waiting until 53. It'd be really, really nice if draft comes and you have a pick between 9 and 53. Especially with the holes that you have on this roster.
So that we can draft Bijan Robinson at top of the second round.
I'm so against it. I've seen people
I'm 100% for it.
That's been the talking point all week is like people are talking about. Like, Bijan Robinson's really good. And yeah, he's really good. I agree. Like there's not been this much buzz around a running back since like Saquon came out. What does that do for the Bears?
So much. What did David Montgomery do for us?
I mean, and he's not here anymore.
I know, and we're kind of lamenting that fact because would you rather have David Montgomery or Deontay Foreman?
Would you say lamenting? Would you say we're
to
still
a little I, bit when the players are saying, "I hope we don't get hit with a Monty curse or something like that"? There's some respect in that locker room from professionals.
Yeah, but guys who like went to work every day together.
True, very true,
like,
very true.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like we've handled that Monty breakup pretty well. Like it's been a couple weeks since they moved out, and I forget the smell of like you know his
you don't remember his
cologne.
Yeah,
the sheets
don't smell like him no more.
No,
the pillow's gone.
You know he's not leaving dishes on the sink anymore. Well, I'm good. I'm in a good spot.
Once again, like you said earlier, there's a ton of holes on this team. Arguably, running back is among those holes. But what if you could plug it with a stud that you know is potentially all pro caliber
instead of plugging? Would you rather have an all-pro running back or an all-pro offensive tackle?
We're solving that problem already. Oh. That problem solved in the first round.
Two all-pro.
Wait. Okay, so you're not saying.
I'm saying with the number, what would be 32 30, pick.
You're saying grab him at 32.
It's a second round pick.
He's saying grab him at 32.
I'm saying grab him at 30. You think I'm saying 9 or 17?
That's
dog.
That's been the talk.
Come on.
Dude, that's been the talk.
No.
People been saying it.
Boy, you're silly.
They've been saying
you're
it.
You're silly.
The proverbial they.
So now change the argument. What
They've
if it's
been.
Top of the second round?
I still would rather get an all-pro center versus an all-pro running back.
So that's where you can sell me. I want one of the Minnesota, the Georgia, people say the Wisconsin guy too, but those two are the top centers.
What is it? Tippmann, you got Schmitz. Or Schmincy, whatever. I would rather, and I'm just sticking to it, I'd rather build within the trenches. I'd rather build the offensive line. I'd rather build the defensive line. I'd rather take a wide receiver. I think that running back is an obsolete position in this league now. I think if this was 2004, great. Sign me up all day, every day.
If it's 2004, he doesn't leave the top 10.
Guys, it's 2023. I mean, at this point, you've got running back is just not it's a premium position if you're one of the best guys in the league, but even then still it's not like the Eagles got rid of Miles Sanders and they're a Super Bowl winning team.
Yeah, he rushed for 1,000 yards for the first time in like 3 or 4 years this past year, and it's been hurt
again. I know we're talking like second round, but I think the only way a team ever really takes not I shouldn't say ever
Bijan's gonna get taken in the first round, by the way.
More than likely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, the only teams that would do that, or maybe even should do that, are teams that are solidified everywhere else. And it's like...
And that's a very fair point.
This is all we need, is a young running back with 3 years of control, four years of control that we can, you know, run into the ground right now.
Like Ezekiel Elliott.
Like the Eagles.
Like the Eagles, like the Cowboys, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that when you're looking to solidify, if you can just go position by position and say, okay, I'm building this team and I'm building it, you know, quote unquote, the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's many other positions that you feel good about solidifying in the direction of your team before you solidify that running back position.
I hear you. A line can make a running back. It's much harder for a running back to make a good line.
100%.
I view him as a very, like, because of what all the experts say. Right. What I look at and say, if I can fill a hole with a guy that I know, this isn't a gamble, he's going to be good. Now, is he going to be as good on this Bears team as he might be on the Cowboys? Probably not. They've got fucking, like, Zach Martin and Tyrone Smith or Teron Smith or whatever his name is. Anyway, they've got a great line. The Eagles, the same situation with some of the best linemen in the league. It definitely would be a different outcome. But anyway, we can move on from this.
Yeah. I mean, it's just there's a bunch of different possibilities here. And, like, the rumors are only going to continue. Like, we have we have two more weeks until the draft. I'm curious to see if and when. I think it's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears will probably end up moving back.
I think so, too.
See where they go to. Who knows? Maybe they moved 15 and then you go back. You go back again. Get more picks.
One thing that I'm.
Ryan, like, Pace is addicted to picks. Like,
Ryan Poles.
Ryan Poles.
Addicted to picks.
Did you just, like,
I said Ryan
Was
Pace.
That Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah. Yeah. Just, like,
one thing that scares me, like, ooh, legitimately scares me, keeps me up at night, is that if Carolina gives us the 1-1 next year, I'm going to have to live through all this again. And, like, I don't think my arteries are gonna be able to take that.
That would be awesome.
This is a good, though. This is a good transition into, like, the big question I want to ask you guys this week about the Bears, and then we can get into our other favorite Chicago sports teams.
Of course.
Is there anybody on this Bears roster that has more to prove than Justin Fields going into the 2023-24 season?
No. He's the most high-profile player on this team and one of the most high-profile players right now in the NFL in terms of, like, what's next.
Sure.
You know, because he's already made the flashy plays. Like, you've seen the glimpses of what could be. It's just, can he do all of it? Can he, like, with a good line, with a good, like, receiving core, can he also sling it on top of run it and win some games?
I think that, yes, Justin Fields is hands down one. I think that, like, 2A and 2B, and by a distance 2A and 2B, it's going to be DJ Moore and Tremaine Edmonds. DJ, we value you as a first-round pick, quite obviously. From a bad team to a bad team's first-round pick. Tremaine, we gave you the money. You two need to prove something as well. Otherwise, no one is going to be near or touch the amount of expectations that Justin's going to have.
Yeah, I think the only other person that, like, we even expect something out of is, like, Jalen Johnson, and he's coming up on a contract year. You know, a guy that you're hoping to get re-signed. Some of these guys on expiring deals.
Well, but Jalen, you don't think of him as a top quarterback in the league either.
and Dale's right with the distance between 1 and 2A, 2B, is if you're bitching and moaning about those guys, it means Justin's good.
Yes.
That absolutely.
Like, if the post-game show is like, the Bears lost. Justin Fields, awesome. But we're going to talk about Jalen Johnson fucking up and blowing the game on, like, a missed read or something like that. Like, if that's the problem, we're in a good place because the quarterback's great.
And that's where then the future is nice for the prospect of kind of the vision of the future is nice for us, because if Justin plays out, which I think consensus, everybody hopes Justin pans out and really is the guy. And you gave the leash,
absolutely,
and you were cool with, you know, like, he was on a bad team, different coaching schemes. Like,
you saw the flashes.
Ineptitude in coaching staffs. But now, hey, like, we're building around you. We're going to get some offensive linemen in here. We're going to get you some offensive weapons. You know, you got another year in a Luke Getsy offense. This is it. This is either perform, get yourself that extension,
yep,
or next season, you got two first round picks. You got a bunch of other picks in the high.
You're trading
rounds.
Him next season.
You trade him for whatever you can get. You package a couple picks and you go up and get a quarterback and you start it over with a built team everywhere else already.
Not to dwell on this.
Don't.
You can get at least a first for Justin if you trade him next year, right?
Probably. I think the hard part is if you trade him like
Sam Darnold went for a first.
Yeah, that right. is true.
Like twice, I think.
I would think
right.
you could.
So to say that like you have the opportunity then to trade three first round draft picks.
I mean, Lamar Jackson hasn't gone for two firsts.
Not yet.
Lamar wants $40 million.
Guaranteed.
Deserved.
Right, and I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying it's different than paying him $8 million.
Agreed.
Yeah. I think it just tells that many more teams can.
Yeah. I just think you're in a good spot here. And it's really tough to say that. And that's just like me being a meathead and a homer. Like our favorite football team literally just had like the worst season of any other 31 team or of the 32 teams. And I'm like, yeah, we're in a good spot. I feel good about it. But like legitimately feel good. I feel good. Yeah. I think we're in a good spot. I think the next couple weeks is really going to be telling.
Yep. Quick NFL rundown off top of my head. Commanders are being sold for like $6 billion
with a billion.
Good for you, Magic.
Odell Beckham to the Ravens,
which has to mean that Lamar's going back, right? Like
you'd think.
Odell doesn't sign that deal if he doesn't have some sort of an idea that
we'll see. Saquon didn't sign his tender yet.
Nice.
And Vikings are apparently out on Dalvin Cook. Or at least the GM is. That's what came out today.
But they still have him for one more year of control. So he's playing in Minnesota this year, correct?
Yeah. They're not. He said not committed.
Because there's trade rumors. There's trade rumors with Dalvin, and I mean he's going into the last year. And again, running backs are probably not going to sign him to an extension at this point.
All right. Again, not to dwell on this, just tell me first if I'm crazy or second if you would. These are two separate things. Uh-huh. They're all separate. It's crazy that no one's that interested in Lamar, according to these reports, right?
It's fishy.
It's just crazy.
I think this is fishy.
He set an NFL record 3 years. He's younger than Stetson Bennett or Bennett, whatever the fuck that guy's name is. Great. So we're all on the same page there. If Dalvin Cook's a free agent next week, do you sign him for a year?
No.
What
no.
if you we have, don't? You we have more money than God right now, as far as football is concerned.
He'll go one year. He'll go to a contender. Why would we sign him for a year?
Because then we have Dalvin Cook. It'll take that much more pressure off of Justin if you're worried about Dalvin Cook every other down.
Reach.
Yeah, I mean,
Dalvin's still a top running back in this league when he plays.
I don't think the man has played a full season in the last couple seasons.
I don't think
the
man's played a full season.
Ever. Yeah. I mean, I think that, again, he's another one of those guys. He's like the Austin Eckler conversation we had a couple weeks ago where, like, does Austin Eckler really? I mean, maybe Austin Eckler more than Dalvin Cook because of the age difference, you know, and, like, the scheme fit. But I think Dalvin Cook's another guy, like, that he's just going to go somewhere and he'll be part of a two-headed, you know, combo and that's the game plan.
He'll be the lightning to someone's thunder or whatever.
No thank you on Dalvin Cook. Guys, just again, we got draft in about 2 weeks. I think we're going to try to do some sort of like a watch party or something.
I'll be in Nebraska.
Oh, that's right. We'll be in Nebraska. We're going to watch draft on cattle. Anything else on the Bulls or the Bears you guys want to get into? I got Bulls on the mind, baby. Guys, and we move on. Let's get into the Chicago Cubs. Dale Dale.
Oh, boy.
Take it away.
All right. Sorry. You caught me off guard for a second. What if I were to tell you that we might be fine? Like, we might be okay. Like, playoffs are so big now that we're probably going to be a playoff team. So, in the past week, like, we did drop two to the Brewers.
Good team.
Right. Also, good team. Also, the one we won from them, we shut them out. Then we went and took 2 of 3 from the Rangers. And then we went and took 2 of 3 from the Mariners. Good team. Now we've got 3 against the Dodgers starting today. But, like, they are putting up runs. In the last 6 games, run totals have included 14, 10, and 12. And that's just the last 6 games. Like, this team is putting up runs. All of these changes to the game are good for this offense and the style of ball they play. The pitching, we got some things to figure out. And we will. Don't worry about it.
But that's something that we talked about and like you right. identified from the beginning. Oh. I mean,
we never knew who was going to throw the ball.
Exactly.
I the bullpen is a like a carousel of names at this point. But these boys are putting up runs. And in today's Major League Baseball, that's what matters. So if nothing else, it is fun to watch. Bet the overs in every game you watch, every game you don't watch, any game you want to win money on. Bet the overs and gamble responsibly.
And you got guys in AAA out of nowhere. Now you have these names that you're expecting and like you can't wait for them to come up from AAA. We haven't had that feeling in a while. You got a guy like Chris Morel who succeeded on the team last year, like PCA eventually.
Yep.
You got this guy, Owen something, who's hitting a bunch of home runs.
Sure.
I mean, it's just, dude, it's a bunch of different names that like you might not even see them join the big league roster. At that point, you might see the Cubs package one or two and then somebody on the big club roster and then go get yourself an arm. Go get yourself a fourth starter or something.
And you've got guys like Nelson Velasquez that are coming up for two games and just giving you a quick, like, almost cycle, including a grand slam, like, comes up and just for a couple games demolishes the ball for you, then gets sent back down immediately. Like, that was a fun story to watch. He'll be back up at some point, probably pretty soon if he's not already. So, yeah, they've got some guys next that are kind of like in the next man up category. And keep betting them over. It's like, I can't hammer that enough. These boys are putting up runs.
Just another bit of Cubs news. Ian Happ signs a 3-year, $61 million extension.
Yes.
That's just cool to see because, like, maybe last year you weren't in the spot to, like, you know, they did the goodbyes and everything, and, you know, you just wait a little bit. He shows that he can still, you know, keep pace with what his all-star numbers were last year, and so far he's off to a good start. Defensively, he's good. 3 years, $61 million, no trade clause in it for him, so it's a little more peace of mind for the next couple years. It's good. I'm happy for Ian Happ. I'm happy for my favorite baseball team.
Oh, and we signed Nico for an additional, like, we locked him up for a 3-year contract instead of having to go through arbitration
for 2 years. Yeah.
So, like, you've got a handful of, now is $20 million the right amount for Ian Happ? I don't really know anymore because of how much people get fucking paid. That might be the right number.
I think that's a pretty team friendly deal considering.
Really? You think so?
The free agents. He could, I bet.
How
he,
much did Benintendi sign for?
Oh, I forget. I could look it up real quick.
I guess my point here is Ian Happ is a decent fielder. He gives you some flexibility because he can play a handful of spots on the diamond. Is he a great hitter?
Tendi was 5 years, $75 million.
5 for 75, so it's like $15 million. He's 20, and Happ's probably a little younger.
Coming off an all-star season.
Yeah, like... then, yeah, that probably is
a
team-friendly deal.
Because, like, I bet he could command it more, sure, in the open market.
It is crazy what people are getting paid nowadays. Like, $20 million a few seasons ago, you better be a top pitcher if
I was
you
saying
want
that
$20
million. The outfield free agency class this upcoming year is just dog shit.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you go and get it done early. But anyway, Nico, like I said... what's his name? Ian? Yeah, that's a guy. A switch hitter, like you said. Absolutely. Good for them. They're locking up some pieces. This is what you do when you think your team is getting better instead of like shipping everyone away or else you would have seen him flip. So it's nice. Let's go. Keep putting up a ton of runs.
I like the new light the W.
Light the W.
Because they just didn't redo the lights and that was right. Cool. I'm excited. Producer Jake, get us into the Chicago White Sox. Wait.
Oh, no.
I think another White Sox player just got injured. Jake, go ahead.
Yeah. My fears are coming true.
Are they fears or is it the reality that you knew the whole time?
Well, it wasn't the reality because they started out healthy. There's goods and there's bads.
I was born not hurt.
Exactly. That's what I think. There are goods and there are bads. The pitching staff... starting pitching staff, good, relatively speaking. They've all had pretty good starts. Kopech had the one bad game. He was tipping pitches. There was a whole John Boy video about it. That seems to be resolved as of the last game, much better. So all five have thrown a quality outing. Lance Lynn had one bad outing, looked better the next game. Starting pitching staff, looking fine. Bullpen, holy shit, is it a problem. It is bad. The White Sox are currently bottom five in earned run average and team earned run average.
Not good.
So that's a problem. You talk about betting overs on the Cubs. You should be betting overs on the White Sox because
bet overs in Chicago.
They give up a lot of runs and they will score a lot of runs. Because that is one thing. One other good thing is the offense, for the most part, has been pretty productive. They're getting hits. They are scoring runs. They're not manufacturing as like. There's situations where you're like, you should score runs here, and then they just don't. So situational run scoring, not there, but it's like they score a fuck ton when they don't need to. So it's there. It's just you got to be better in other situations. Obviously, we're missing Liam Hendricks, but he's supposedly coming back in like a month or so. So that's incredible. Still looking for Crochet to hopefully come back. But then the other problem is Eloy, Tim, and Yoan Moncada. Yoan Moncada is not on the IL, but the other two are.
Like, arguably, your three
and
best.
Then you lost the game.
That's the thing here. If they collectively are not on, like, on the lineup, the three of them combined for more than 100 games, we're fucked. I mean, that's just. If they are. It's fine to miss a game. It's fine to like take a rest day or whatever. But when you're missing back-to-back games consistently, then it's a problem. So Moncada has got like a back injury that's messing with him, but he's not on the IL. Tim fucked up, like sprained his MCL or something.
Is it a sprain? I didn't see what the...
Yeah, it was like a two-week injury, they're saying.
He was like worried about like no contact or something.
No, it was
like
contact.
But like it was a weird... Yeah.
It was a... Like, he basically banged his knee.
It was bang-bang play.
And then Eloy's got a hamstring, a leg injury. So
lower body injury.
Hamstring.
Those are always good.
If those three aren't, like, looking at the games we lost recently, it's like, okay, if we had Eloy, Moncada, and Tim in there, I could see us winning this game. But then you just don't. Luis Robert's playing out of his fucking mind.
Poor guy.
Batting like 400, top five in home runs in the league right now, robbing home runs, playing gold glove defense. It's awesome. But now we're getting people hurt. Sheets is, you're having first baseman play right field.
You got to awesome. Feel bad
Dude,
for Gavin Sheets in right field because that's
it's
not
bad.
It's not an outfielder.
It's bad.
And he looked bad because that was a bad
second
play.
Base is still a problem, at least in the offensive category. Like, Elvis Andrews currently not working out. And now you got like Hanser Alberto playing more games. And like, do you see the ball he threw away?
Is he your guys' Larry Garcia?
Like, currently, yes. Currently, Hanser Alberto is the punching bag. Dude got raked over the coals the other night.
Dude, he launched that bitch out of the stadium.
The throw?
Yeah.
No, he hit the guy, he hit the runner.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he launched it into the...
No, he threw it basically in the line and hit the runner. Yeah, it was bad. And then also on that play, like Vaughn was subbed out, so we didn't have Vaughn playing first base. I forget who it was, but it was your first baseman. It was fucking brutal. So yeah, if this team is healthy, they'll win and be well. But if they're not, we're just fucked. It's just over. It's so frustrating.
One question and we'll move on.
Okay.
If they win 70 games or less, call it 74 games. Is Rickon gone at the end of the year?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Because they're like a top five payroll right now. And I know that I still get frustrated at Jerry because he's never like truly paid a guy or anything like that. But
he kind of paid like everyone.
He's kind of paid across the board at this point.
Right.
And we've pissed it away on
injuries.
On like, well, not necessarily injuries, because I like you signed a bunch of guys to team friendly deals, like your supposed core being Eloy, Luis Robert, Moncada. Like they signed early deals, right? And so like it makes sense there. We fucked up with the bullpen arms. And now, like, Joe Kelly's on the IL, too. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Unreal.
That little fucker.
The Joe Kelly injury is unreal. Dale, did you hear how he got injured?
No, what was it?
He got injured running out of the bullpen to go get into that fight that was happening.
Fucking awesome.
Around O'Neill Cruz.
Yeah.
Did his rec specs fall off, too? Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Dude, you can't make this up.
Dude, it's fucking brutal. They just get hurt all the time. So,
like you,
I'm going on Saturday. No, they're playing Baltimore Orioles. Adley Rutschman's gonna fucking murder.
He's awesome.
Us and me.
Yeah, he is.
I love Adley Rutschman. Jake, anything else on the White Sox?
Go Sox. They also have not won a series yet.
That's not good for major league franchises.
They tied the series against the Astros, who are apparently bad. So take that for what you will.
Guys, moving on. Let's get into the Chicago Bulls. Bulls won themselves a playoff game yesterday.
Seeing
well,
a little red?
Not a playoff game. It's a play-in
game.
To get to
it's
the
a meaningful
play-in
game. It's a meaningful game.
To get into
play
the playoffs.
Play-on game? Play-in? Play-in.
Play-in.
Not play-off.
I don't care what it is. It's free basketball. It's mm-hmm. extra basketball.
Other teams are done.
Other teams are done. Other teams aren't watching anymore.
Including the Toronto Raptors.
Thank you to Zach LaVine.
And DeMar's daughter.
DR DeRozan. Guys, it was the tale of two halves?
Yeah.
Old school?
Well, they were down 19.
J. Cole.
Yeah. Guys, first half, totally different than second half. Can I tell you guys one of my biggest like regrets from yesterday? Hand up. I'm actually
not
like,
live betting the Bulls. Or
I'm
what?
Sick about it. I had the biggest deposit I've ever like almost put in.
Yeah.
I was really, really, really close. But I had this moment. They were down 19.
Uh-huh.
It was like, I think they were getting like 18-1 at that point. It was like 17 or 18-1 at that point.
On the money line?
On the money line for them to come back. It's like, they're like down 19. It's still first half. And I'm like, man.
It would be irresponsible to put that amount of money on.
Yeah, dude. But it was also like, I'm.
But I would have won.
I was so close to it. And I had this moment where I'm like, man, am I really just a fucking homer? Like, am I really gonna do this right now? And I didn't. And sure as shit, Bulls come back and win. Knew it was gonna happen. Devastated I didn't make the bet.
Awesome.
But they did win.
Is what it is. They did win. And they won on the back of Zach LaVine.
I said this last night, but I still crack up at it. It's like the Toronto Raptors really thought they could walk into their building and claim to be the ninth best team in the Eastern Conference.
We are.
Such a hater.
Psych.
Such a hater. Guys, I'm excited for extra basketball. I'm not saying that this. I think the Bulls are going to go into Miami tomorrow, and I think they're going to win another basketball game. Mm. And then you're going to go to Milwaukee, and you're going to face a top. The best team in the East. That is what it is. Good luck. Hope you can salvage some games there. I know what this is. I'm not trying to sell you anything that like you don't already know.
They are who we thought they were.
The Bulls are the first ever 10 seed to win a play-in game.
Suck our dick,
history,
right?
History. I would. So we didn't get to it last episode because the season wasn't fully over. At the time, I would like to give roses to a player on the Bulls.
Go ahead.
I'm the biggest hater, pessimist.
I was going to say.
Call it what you want, but shout out Vucevic. The man played all 82 games.
It's something.
Good job.
I mean, it's the first time ever, though, in his career that he's played every game. And he told Billy Donovan with the last two games of the season, like,
and players just don't do that
when they were resting people in the age of load management. He said, hey, I want to play these last two games. I want to be able to say that I gave you guys 82 games.
Right.
I don't think that last night is the reason that you should then decide to run it back next year. I think there are changes that are going to happen with this Bulls team in the offseason.
Yeah.
Right? And it's inevitable. You can't. You can't run it back, and you can't hope and have the aspirations to be the ninth best team, like you said, Jake. I get it. But while you're here, fuck around, find out. Go win a game.
Yeah.
Go win another game. Get some playoff experience for these younger guys. That's good, too. It's nice to be able to see Zach LaVine. Guys, Zach put up 39 points in an elimination game.
It was, I mean, pretty impressive.
Especially
the dude was hot.
Especially considering the first half that he had. Like, everybody really had a below.
Oh, they were like,
again, you're down 19.
2 from 20 from 3 or whatever. It was awful.
Oh, yeah.
And you just stayed in it. You stayed in it. You kind of
the defense run. Really picked up the turnovers they were generating in that second half were especially the fourth quarter. I mean, they were every time Toronto came, there was like three or four possessions in a row. It felt like they just took the ball away.
Right.
Well, and big props like defensively to Patrick Williams. Like that was a big change that they had. Pascal Siakam, like Pascal Siakam was having a great first half. He was on pace. He had like 23, 24 points first half.
Him and Fred were cooking.
Dude. Oh. And because it was Alex Caruso guarding, you know, Pascal Siakam at least the first, you know, first part of the game. Halftime made some adjustments. P. Will out there second half. Totally different half. I think the defense played stellar. DeAndre DeRozan. She was fantastic.
Her free throw defense.
Dude, your text message, like first quarter, second quarter, being like, is there a fucking Falcon in the building?
After about eight free throws, that was my text. Is there a fucking Falcon in this arena? Because it sounded like a bird of prey was circling and screeching.
And it didn't make sense because it was only the scream was coming when the Raptors were shooting free throws. And I'm like, okay, we got a Bulls fan there, a transplant. You know, somebody's there rooting. I'm like, okay, but this is fucking crazy.
Oh, also, that was my thought too. What meatball is out there?
Yeah.
Also, shout out friend of the program, Sherry, for her Snapchat story where she had like four or five Snapchats in a row just roasting, like being like, who the fuck, like mad over
that's awesome,
over the screeching.
And she loves DeMar.
Yeah, dude, and does. I messaged her later. I was just like, this did not age well for you,
because like sour cream,
your boy's daughter.
By the end of the game, the internet's in love with DeRozan, right?
My buddy from LA goes, yeah, that was pretty fucking annoying for everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, yeah, I get it. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine like being a Toronto fan sitting anywhere near her.
But like, what are you going to do? It's DeMar's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially
because you leave.
He's beloved there. Like, still, right. They love DeMar in Toronto.
So. Also, shout out the ref during the challenge. Call to the
Pat
Bev.
You mean Gucci?
Yeah, exactly.
Gucci the referee. I know last night was like it was really only important for us like locally, but great. It's like fun times. Right. Now let's go to Miami. Go have some fun. I think you match up better against Miami than you did against the Raptors. Like, there's a couple little like storyline things with this game. You know, DeMar now going to play against Kyle Lowry, and they played together in Toronto for all those years.
They're like best friends.
Jimmy used to play for the Bulls, and you guys know how that is. I mean, it's just it's a bunch of different storylines here that just again another local game that makes you excited, and then we'll see. Moving on, guys. Let's get into.
Do we have to?
Well, so I saved this last, right, and I'm just gonna. I'm really sorry that you've had to do this so many times. Oh, the bottle of Malort. I'm really sorry that you've had to do this multiple times, but...
Oh, this one's not open.
Producer Jake.
No, don't. Taps?
Take it away.
Oh.
Well, he's dying, isn't he?
I'm dying.
Jake's dying.
Jake is dying. He's just played his last game as a Blackhawk.
In the league. Jake, take it away.
No, as a Blackhawk. He's going to play somewhere next year. Hold on. Jonathan Taves announced that tonight, well, the Blackhawks organization announced that tonight will be the last game. I'm not done. Are you on some?
I'll get in with this.
Will be the last game of Jonathan Taves Blackhawks career. This is
not, I've done that.
This is the end of it all. I mean,
you didn't have to hand it to me.
It's the end of the run. Not that the run was dead long before this, but I mean, this is it. This is the last player standing from the last Stanley Cup championship, all three Stanley Cup championships. The player that kicked it off, the third overall draft pick in 2007, then followed by Patrick Kane as the first overall draft pick. The captain, the youngest captain at the time in the NHL, in like NHL history, I think, the youngest captain. The soul of the team that rose them from the depths of hell. I mean, from game one when he stepped on the ice, everybody knew that he was just a different player. Selke winner, playoff MVP, three-time Stanley Cup champion. His career ended up falling off after those cup runs for various health issues, but goddamn, was Jonathan Toews,
2-time Olympic gold medal winner.
Yes. I mean,
captain of Canada during one.
No, Sidney Crosby was always captain because Mike Babcock was the coach. If Joel Quenneville that one year would have been the coach over Babcock,
to your boy Toews, a little more for him.
Toews probably would have been the captain. Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's never good.
It's never good, dude.
He's gonna play for another team for sure. His fuck hockey career is for sure not done.
For sure not done?
Yeah, not he'll play for another team. He's not done.
He's never gonna be an all-star again, likely.
Yeah, probably not. We'll see. I mean, missed like 2 months of this season for health issues. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure he's going to want to play, and I'm sure a team will pick him up. You know, I just hope in the future that he comes back to the team, to the org, not as a player maybe, but in an organizational aspect, you know, ambassador type thing, like Sharp did, like hopefully Kane will eventually too, that they just make the Blackhawks their home and that they are,
right,
you know, recognized. I'm, you know, they'll obviously all have their jerseys retired. I'd like to see a massive, like, 6-person statue of just the core from that run. It's sad. I'm sad.
That's okay. It's okay to feel these feelings, Jake.
Who do you like, now that the run and now, like, after tonight, you know, it's officially over.
Yeah. By the way, that's who game's starting. Can we get that turned on?
Who was more important to the Hawks in the last 15 years, say? Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews?
Who was more important is really tough to say, because I don't know if you could do it without the other. Like, especially, you could probably do a cup run, but three is something to behold. Let's talk, like, potential greatest, like, Jonathan Toews moments or memories. The one that will always stand out to me, and this is a combo actually with Seabrook,
right,
was in the 2013 run. There's actually a couple, but in the 2013 run, they were in the Western Conference Finals against the Detroit Red Wings, and they were down 2-1, and Jonathan Toews had taken a bunch of penalties at the end of game four, and they end up losing that game. But I remember Seabrook came over and like tapped Toews on the shoulder and was like, dude, it's gonna be okay, like, because he was just pissed. He was fuming, blowing a gasket, just because he had a penalty, got out of the box, took another penalty, was losing it, right? And they scored on both of them and ended up winning the game. But Seabrook came over and was like, dude, we got you, like, don't worry about it. And then they ended up rattling off like 3 in a row after that
to Seabrook hit to win overtime winner
in game 7. But he was a pivotal part of those next three games.
Remember and when you watched every hockey game of the season, because it was the Cups run?
And then there was the series against the Ducks in 2015.
Right.
Ryan Kessler was, like, the Ducks were just hammering the Blackhawks with hits. And Ryan Kessler, after game 4, had made a quote to the press saying, like, no one can withstand this many hits. Like, we've got them. We're going to win. And then Toews just... This was Toews' MVP year in the playoffs, and Toews rattled off like 6 goals in the next like 4 games. Like, just went on a tear. Right. And I think he had 2 goals to start the game in game 6 in what would have ended up being the series clincher. Yeah. So to say most important, he was the captain, but I don't really think you could do it without the other, at least 3 cup runs. You probably could have had one.
So... For that point, if it was only one cup run, like, that is the feeling that the Chicago Cubs are stuck with.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had what you thought was a core, like you had in the baseball side. You had Rizzo. You had KB. You had Wilson. You had Schwarby. You had Arrieta at the time. You have Hendricks at the time. And they just fall short. It's the point here being, it is so hard, just so fucking hard, to have that level of dominance like the Blackhawks had, like the Patriots have had.
It wasn't just the Cups, because they were in the Western Conference Finals 5 of 6 years.
Right.
And won the Cup 3 of it. And the one year they lost to the Kings
in the division.
Game 7 of the Conference Final.
But the year they missed the conferences
in
the 20 conference.
In 20 I don't yeah they lost.
They still made the playoffs in 11 like
in 11 yeah, and then but they lost in 14 to the Kings in the Western Conference Final and the in game 7 in overtime. I remember being in Sam's basement. That was brutal. And the Kings end up winning the cup that year, but then you bounce back and came back for 15.
I think in sports it's so like we throw around all these kind of superlatives and like, you know, we attach like these different names and like and stuff to teams, but honestly it's like that is one of the last true dynasties. Like in dynasty in every sense, like just an extended amount of like an extended period of just dominance.
And go on.
A dynasty where you can point to like, oh, we drafted him. We drafted him.
Yeah.
We didn't.
It was built.
Him. It wasn't a bought dynasty. It's not like the NBA now where you can have a dynasty if you get the right guys at the right at the right time.
You had even then, well, they even had a couple. Still, the NBA wins. What's the last?
As we can see,
what's the last dynasty in the NBA? You know,
they had a couple clutch like free agent signings and free agent signings and trades.
That's true.
They had a couple clutch like free agent signings and trades. Hosa, Brad Richards. But yeah, I don't know. And to speak on the players again, clutch. I think that's the one thing that will define those guys beyond these years is they were so clutch when they needed the goal the most. They got it. In 2010, there was that game against the Predators where they were shorthanded and down a goal with like a minute left, and they pulled the goalie to bring it even because Hossa was in the box for a 5-minute major. They pulled the goalie to bring it even, and Kane scored a goal without empty net, even strength, scores a goal with like 10 seconds left. They go to overtime. Hossa gets out of the box and scores immediately. They had like Patrick Kane, like constant overtime winners. The game 7 with Seabrook, the heartbreaker goal with Patrick Kane.
Ooh, yeah.
Dude, I mean, when they needed it, they always had it.
And you can look back to like so many centers, so many wingers, so many D-men that like you just like really remember. And it sticks out like during that cup run, like how many defenders can you name during that cup run, right? Like that's kind of hard to do on
and
a hockey team.
Taze was so good as the first line center.
Right.
That you had Patrick Kane on the second line.
Right.
Imagine having like the best winger in the league on the second line lighting it up against the other team's second line.
And then you had like Shaw on the fourth line just to fuck with
because your second line is now so good, they're forced to play their first line against your second line to knock them down. Yeah.
Do you remember when Jake would lose his shit when they would quote unquote go nuclear?
Oh yeah, they would
when it was Taze, Hossa, or it was Taze, Kane and Panarin, and
Sharp
and Sharp. Well, Panarin.
Yeah.
When it was like, all right, just so you know, we're scoring a goal.
Well, their power play for the 2015 year, So their power play at one point was Kane, Taves, Sharp, and Panarin. So you would run four offensive players and then one D-man.
And then Keith.
And then you just throw Keith or Siebes in the
Keith
back.
Keith and Siebes in the back. And then, and then you had Sharp line up on defense. And he would just unload from the top.
Dominance, guys. Extended dominance for a long period of time.
They were the best. Taves was the captain of it all. I will miss him dearly. I will miss the Blackhawks. Also, props to Kyle Davidson for kind of just saying it with his chest at this point that he was like, the old regime is gone. That team is dead. We're reloading with the depth and the core. We're starting over, basically.
It's the candor.
He said
the
quiet part out loud.
Yeah, it's the candor that you hope that like these GMs and like guys that run these professional
that Ryan
teams,
Poles
you hope that they have that. You know,
they
as a
did
fan,
not,
it's really nice.
They did not offer a contract to Taves or Kane.
They said, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
No. Guys, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
It's been real.
Do you have the draft lottery simulator pulled up?
I totally forgot my sad.
While he does it, may I ask?
Please.
The Sammy Stats question of the week. Sam asks, was Zach LaVine's second half performance last night Jordan-esque, and follows it up with, I think it was, and the radio heads agree. Obviously, he's not Jordan, and I'm not saying that he is, but Jordan-esque is a term often used when a player takes over a game and closes it. Thanks for listening. I'll hang up and listen.
I mean,
I think it's really tough to throw around Jordan-esque.
If he dropped like 60.
No, I mean, so there's not many. Like, I think you could count them on two hands.
I also don't think
the amount of people that, like, amount of players in the NBA that can drop 40 points in a elimination game, in a playoff game. There's not many of those guys in the league that exist.
I think so.
I'm not sure that's true.
I don't think you can say Jordan-esque because, like, at this rate, people score 40 points all the time.
That's my point.
So I don't think you can
say in elimination games, in playoff games. There's a difference between game 50 of the regular season.
I think, like, if it was like a game 7 of like a conference final, you could be like, holy shit. Or if he did it for if he went 5 of 6 games dropping 40 points in a playoff series, be like, holy shit, that was a Jordan-esque like series.
If he drops 40 in the final on a day he stubbed his toe and he also had IBS flare-ups, like, on that day, that would be Jordan-esque.
I'm with you guys. Like, I don't
think... You saw a brown spot on his white shorts.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's a Jordan-esque performance because it's tough to compare any performance, like, to Jordan performances. Like, it's really difficult. Call us being homers or whatever it is. But I think that Zach LaVine performance is one of the greater elimination, you know, Bulls playoff
especially
performances
being down 19, the second half, like, come up. It was a very good showing.
Hats off to Zach LaVine again. Like, yeah. There's not many guys. There's not many 50, 40, 90 guys in the league. There's not many guys that can average 27 plus a season. Like, he's a scorer in every sense. That's what scorers cost in the league now. Like, that's that whole, like...
That is fair.
Max players and, like, is he a max player? It's, like, the argument for, like, a WR1 in the league, you know? I know I'm kind of going off on right now, but, like, it's... You know, it's just because it's that team's WR1, but is it the best in the league? It's the same thing with max players, I feel like, in that argument and stuff. Like, yeah, they're a max player. They might not be the best players in the league. I would argue that Zach is upper echelon.
It's like Christian Kirk. Is he a true WR1? Probably not. Is he a WR1 on a team?
Depth chart?
And, like, on a team that might be okay? Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Is he a max player then, like Christian Kirk got paid? Just like Zach LaVine got paid.
I really liked Zach's performance last night. I would say that it's one of the better, like, Chicago playoff performances you'll see. Tough for me to throw the Jordan-esque moniker on it, but, like, I could be convinced.
If he did it again tomorrow, we can have a conversation.
Yep.
I think that Jordan-esque is going to be so difficult moving forward just because, like...
Well, they're all doing it.
I just mean the term. We are the first generation that's like, no, we actually didn't really see Jordan because I'm the oldest of us and I was 4.
I can only physically remember watching Wizards Jordan.
Right, right. And it, like, for everyone else, it was so fucking awkward to watch and so weird. But, like, we're going to now be in an era where you're going to ask, was that a LeBron-esque performance?
Not me.
Right, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Kobe,
but I mean, like,
me Kobe.
That would be much easier. Kobe? That's a much better term. Thank you for correcting me. Kobe-esque is a much better.
Don't you blame me?
Thank you for
that.
But, like, it's just gonna be so hard to compare to Jordan and, like, actually be honest about it, because we're now in the era, like, when it's our generation, no one saw it. If you think you did, you're a liar. Because I'm older than most of you, and I didn't.
Highly recommend you guys do go back and, like, watch some of those.
Oh,
games.
I've
gone
back. Yeah,
it's just fantastic.
I was just saying, like, live. I do remember watching Wizards Jordan live.
If you had the time to go back and watch some of the finals, what's almost more fun to watch, if you can watch Dennis Rodman play, it's incredible. Like, worth the price of admission to see him. Mostly because a lot of the time he's fucking with other people. He's like a Lance Stephenson. Like, for a younger generation, it's, if you're going to go back and watch Jordan, and just watch Rodman.
All right. Back to the topic of the discussion here, the NHL draft lottery simulator. If it's any, so I'm really, really upset at the Blackhawks. It came on a really bad night because the Sox lost in extra innings. And at the same time...
Oh, so bad for you.
Yeah, bad for me. At the same time, the Blackhawks won a game against the Pittsburgh Penguins when the Penguins needed to win a game. And it also came on a night that the Columbus Blue Jackets picked up a point. Just the worst evening ever to win a game. You should not have won that game. Had they lost, they would be in last place right now.
That's why I texted you, did they pull a Lovie Smith?
I didn't understand that either.
They won the last game and now are no longer in the best odds.
What's not the last game? Houston.
They still have another game.
Oh, so that's what I thought you were saying.
They played tonight. They're actually playing right now.
But winning when you're not supposed to, that is now a Lovie Smith by definition.
Columbus has two more games. Anaheim has another game as well.
So Columbus is game in hand.
We need them to either win a game or get a point.
Either one of them.
Columbus needs to win. Anaheim needs a point. Anaheim needs an overtime loss. At just an overtime game. Columbus could also go overtime twice. Unlikely, possible.
But as it stands now, if the season ended today, they have...
We are in third place with an 11.5, which we've been every episode we've recorded for the last three weeks. If
this is the one.
How frustrating.
I'm going to hit this button. If we're anything lower than a 3, I'm going to do another Malort. Here we go.
Just get the bottle ready. There it is. And what does it come out to?
Fourth.
There it is.
Dude.
Arizona moved up four places to second. Anaheim dropped. We dropped. Columbus is in first. Excuse me.
Have you ever, like, played golf, right? And you hit a shot, and you go, that ain't the one. And you put another ball down. And then you do the exact same thing over again. That's when you know it's meant to be.
Guys, I want you to know that off pod... I do this, okay? My morning starts with this. It's not good.
How many times have you landed Connor Bednard?
Maybe one.
Maybe one, so zero is the answer. Because you would remember the one. Well, you would say one if it were one. If it were more than one, you would say two or more.
Here's the thing. Because I only count official draws as the first push of the button, but like in my brain, I'll just click it like I just did. And
what do you mean? What does that mean? What do you mean in my brain? I just click it.
Like,
so sometimes like, you get 7 and you go, and you hit it again?
Yeah. And then,
oh, so never is again the answer. What do we end up with?
Second.
There you go. Still not him. So again, the number is 0 to answer the question.
The number is 0. Not good.
Guys, anything else on the Chicago Blackhawks?
Then we... I love Jonathan Toews.
Pour one out for Jonathan Toews. That is an end of an era. I will forever remember getting to take you to the parade because I fucking lucked into those tickets.
It was a good time.
You then took me to Fall Out Boy and Wrigley. So we are more than... I love you for that. We are more than even.
You guys are so
weird. I went for a pound. I went for the high five. He came to the pound. The we switched turkey. At the same time. So we just interlocked.
Yes! Guys, moving on. Let's get into some Schmegmans, right? We'll do who's not that guy. I will start. You know who my not that guy is this week? I learned a term yesterday that I've never learned before. Have you guys ever heard of the term of an example lobster?
No.
Okay, so not that guy is anybody who actually does this, and it might just be it might be a small select group of people, but anybody who does example lobster. So basically, when you're cooking lobsters, you boil them alive. Fucking brutal, but it is what it is. So an example lobster is basically, let's say you buy 8 lobsters and you boil them, right? Or you buy 8 lobsters, you only boil 7. You leave one alive. You make them watch. You make them watch. You make them. You put them at the table. The lobster watches while you eat its family and its friends. And then after dinner, you take the lobster back to the ocean, so the lobster can tell the stories of how brutal the human race is.
Wait a minute.
This was something on Reddit I saw. It was, has anyone ever heard of leaving an example lobster in cooking? My parents claim that plenty of people do it, and they learned it from their own parents. It's a ridiculous and horrifying process.
So this isn't a Midwestern thing.
No, we don't have lobsters.
We don't have lobsters. But well, we could.
What the fuck?
We could. We could use
this
it.
It's not
for...
an Iowa thing, right?
We just leave one corn stalk.
My family always listen. My family always set the lobster right in front of all the cooked lobsters and made it watch as we ate all the other lobsters. After that, we put the lobster in a cooler and drove it to the beach to send it back to the ocean.
That's
the
up.
Joke. Quote-unquote, is that the lobster is supposed to tell the other lobsters of the horrors it saw. Has anyone else's family heard of this, or was I born into a family of sociopaths?
So, like, a Midwestern version of this would be when you take a cattle to slaughter, and you just leave one.
Basically.
And then you bring it back to the farm.
No, but then you're eating burgers in front of the cattle.
Right.
So, I will admit...
Okay.
When we moved in,
when
we moved in here, like, I had texted you and Lee because we had spiders in the basement. Remember? So every now and then, if you had a big one, you would leave that fucker out so they fucking knew. You come out into the light again, you're mine. No spiders in last year. I haven't seen one in a while.
I literally just pulled one out of the air in front of Marcos' face.
I just killed one right in front of me.
That doesn't count. I'm talking about fucking spiders.
I haven't seen spiders. Winter. All bugs are dead. Winter.
Then when do they come back?
Anytime now.
Snowbirds.
What?
They go to Florida.
They didn't. What? They can't afford a flight.
They're migratory.
Did you guys know some turtle species will dig a foot into the ground and just hibernate down there?
I saw that video as well. The box guard. The
turtle lady?
Yeah, she digs him up in her garden like it's normal.
That shit was wild. Oh,
this is Renee. She's been asleep for about 6 months in the winter. Do you have a turtle buried in your garage? My great uncle had animals buried because they died.
Bodies.
Yeah, that's and in Aurora, super not code. If anyone ever looks, he's dead, but he would have been fucked.
Oh my God. This is a random tangent. On Easter.
Oh, that wasn't.
You triggered something. On Easter. We're going off the rails. On Easter, Amy and I are sitting at a table with my back to my dad and stepmom, right? And a few other family members. And we're eating dinner. And my stepmom comes out and she just found out from her dad that her uncle died 3 weeks ago. She had no idea, right? And my dad goes, "Is he still living in Indiana?" And she goes, "No, he's dead."
Was he?
Dude, I was rolling.
Is that when you found out he was dead, too?
Oh, yeah, we all found out in that moment. It was so
funny. So people who practice the example lobster method, you're fucked up.
That's right. That's where we started.
This is where this guy.
That's right.
You're fucked up. You're not that guy. Producer Jake, who's not that guy?
Yeah, hot take for me, not that guy this week is Bud Light.
Clarify.
I got
Let him run, bro.
That's why I was like,
let me cook.
Just
let
pick cook. Which audience you want to appease right now.
Bud Light got itself in a lose-lose situation. You're supporting the trans community. The problem is your beer's not good enough for them to take on your beer.
Oh, for sure.
So Bud Light is now down 20 points on the stock market. So if you're a buyer, now's the time, boys.
Get in.
Anheuser-Busch.
Dip the chip.
Down 20 points. They're at $45 a share.
1-800
They're going to bounce back.
1-800 Gambler.
When all these people start drinking Coors Light and figure out it's dog shit.
Now's the time.
Go fuck it. I'll suck a dick for some Bud Light.
Guys, if Bush Light made the...
Clip that. Clip that right there.
Please don't. I drink Bush Light.
If Bush Light made the move, sales would be through the roof. That's all I'm saying.
Good for you.
What a take.
Dale, who's not that guy?
All right. My not that guy this week is a man named Randy Rosenberg, and you've probably seen him, though you didn't know. Randy Rosenberg was the umpire of Monday's Philadelphia-Toronto Blue Jays game. He's the umpire that tossed JT Realmuto just because, JT didn't see that he had, just because JT pulled his glove.
Right.
So just the most little dick energy. I'm tossing you because I think you showed me up in a moment where no one in the stadium was looking at us. And I had
I hate when umpires make it about them. And there's no bigger way than, did you just try and stand me up in like a completely unimportant moment in this game when I was just throwing a ball back to a pitcher what I had just done the previous at bat? So anyway, if you haven't seen that video, just look it up real quick. It's kind of funny because I don't think JT realizes it at first, and then he realizes it, and you can see his face just go from what's going on to, are you fucking kidding? Like almost the laugh at how stupid this is face. So anyway, Randy Rosenberg, not that guy.
And right back to you, Dale, who can or cannot dog sit for you?
Because it's his birthday, the big boy will be watching himself if he wants. It's a happy early birthday to Billiam.
Billiam's last few episodes been hanging at my feet for the shows.
I'm sure you've noticed this, I have to fidget. I cannot sit still. I've just been doing this with Sam's empty chair. Like, I've got to move around. I accidentally kick Billiam a lot because he sits at my feet and I move my feet a lot. So, yeah, that checks out.
So you're not that guy?
Sure, I'm not that guy.
Who does Jake, who can or cannot dog sit for you?
Well, I think consensus dog sit is going to be DeMar DeRozan.
That's mine, yeah.
Right?
Oh.
DeMar DeRozan can
sorry
dog sit.
Sorry to take that.
No, that's okay. But that's good, yeah.
My true... So I don't really like doing this, doing the just callback to the show already, but Jonathan Toews... just has to be.
It's a career run.
My dog sitter.
Yes.
Guys, like, you always, I mean, I'm sure you'll hope this for your children too, but that one of their favorite sports teams has some sort of championship run in their early 20s. Because it's the greatest time you'll ever have.
Oh, we had the best times.
So how great was the Cubs run with us, even though you're a Sox fan? Like,
yeah,
just the energy that's around you and your group of friends. You've got your thing this week. Shut everything the fuck down.
Yeah.
Well, and what's nice about it is we had that little stretch there. For those of you who are listening and don't know this, where you've been, but the four of us all lived together, and we lived together in a time where, like, it was nothing but champion.
Hawks and Cubs.
It was playoff runs for everybody. I mean, that was even Derrick Rose.
The Bulls,
was,
too. Yeah, that's Derrick, right. Yeah. Yeah.
You still had Derrick Rose. That was, I think our first year we lived there was
the only
shot.
The first year.
But, I mean, right. We had a couple Cubs playoff runs and a World Series.
Yep.
You had a few Blackhawks runs and a couple World Championships there. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Just,
and we were all sub 25 at the time, like
broke as shit.
Oh, it was a point in time where there's four cases of Busch Light in the house
that
at
was
all times.
When we first moved in.
It was that first summer.
We stacked the wall.
Oh man.
And just having
poor gas station.
You didn't even need to text people. You didn't need to make it a thing. You just knew. You want to watch the game? I know where it's on TV right now. Cool. See you there.
So Jonathan Toews,
that
captain,
was a great couch.
Captain, leader, stud, all-star, MVP. Love that man.
Cheers.
Guys, cheers. That's where we end the episode. Guys, again, all the socials, do us a favor, share this with somebody, having a great time. Can't wait to get Sammy's stats back. I can't wait for the Bulls to win a play-in game, to win the next play-in game, to fuck around, find out, win a playoff series.
Fuck around, find out.
Guys, see red, bear down. Love you guys.
Bears. Jonathan Toews.
Jake's secretly a Red Hawks fan. Red Wings. Fuck.
That sucks.
I'm just so.
No, dude, leave that shit in there. Leave it in.
Don't fucking. Or do. I don't give a shit.
It's bad. It's so bad. They don't win. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger.
But she ain't messing with no Richard Seymour. Get down, girl. Go ahead, get down. The boys are back.
Not that guy.
How big are you on sports? Not that guy.
I need to put notes on that.
Right. Oral Roberts, man.
I'm drunk.
Drunk.
Bears.
It's looking more like Jake might have been right, but do I know anything about that man? Absolutely not going into that, right?
You don't have a choice.
No, that's not what I said.
Okay.
I watched all the tape.
To say where you work, but then get the hell out of the chair.
The bestest friends in the whole world.
Go Chaos.
Especial.
Not that guy.
Marcos disagrees.
Sean's legally blind.
Let him up, you dumb bitch.
It's Malort.
What if he wants to be here?
What? Yeah. I rode with him for 3 weeks, dude.
Football guys.
Really fast.
I need it in like 15 seconds, though.
Yeah, your face is too narrow.
That guy.
Dude, I love
and
celebrating.
The Malort's on the table.
We're doing our best to put out as much as we can put out.